Father, Jesus, and HS give you their love, and I give you my peace. I spoke to Father on Thursday. Here's what he said. Hello, my dear team and spouses. Welcome to springtime, a time where things that were dormant come back to life and bloom, causing many allergies. Haha. Once again, many changes are taking place in the world. The daily news is very depressing. That is, if you listen to it. Many countries are at war with each other. Many natural disasters are happening and will happen. I'm trying to get mankind's attention, but they just do not care. I do, however, know that all of you care. Your ability to love has grown towards mankind, even though most of you feel disconnected and alone. Am I right? Some of you do not feel close to me or the team. You feel you have strayed, and you are concerned. Some of you have talked to me about this. I will never let you stray too far off. If you are making an effort to connect, then I will help you. Trilin and Starlight gave each other healings yesterday where I shared much with them about this subject. Trilin will expound on it with you. No one should ever feel alone. I am watching over you constantly, stalking you, haha. I think all of you need to lighten up a bit. I know your hearts are heavy. Many of you have been through much the past few weeks, and you continue forward even though you felt you failed me at times. You are still trying, which is what I asked from all of you. Perfection does not happen overnight or even in one's lifetime. Is that not interesting? Perfection happens on the day my son returns to claim his bride. Prior to that event comes all the efforts you can muster to change and overcome yourself. Understand? All I need for you to do is to control yourself, not those around you. Your free will is in your power to control, and yet most human beings refuse to do so. Take a deep breath before you react. Would it surprise you to know that this is what your big brother Jesus did all the time? He would make them wait. They would be watching him closely, hoping he would fail or make a mistake, but he did not. You are just as strong as Jesus is. Did you know that? Or would you rather make excuses to me? I believe in you and know that you can change. I have seen it. Now do not make a liar out of me. This is all I wish to share with you. I am proud that you make an effort each day to tell me what is on your heart, where you failed, and certainly where you succeeded. Very proud and happy to call you my children. Receive now more of my love. Does anybody have any questions? Comments?
No questions. Well, I do have a comment.
All right.
Actually, the service was very much, the Chief Apostle service was very much very similar to the letter that you just read.
Really?
Yeah. The Chief Apostles spoke about how he compared a slave and a child. So he said a slave has to work for the master. The slave gets no reward. He must do as he's told, and that's it. He's indebted to this to the master. Whereas a child also must do what they're told. They try to please their father, but in the end, their inheritance is great. And so he was saying to us how Jesus gave his life so that we would have liberty. And we have the freedom to make choices. And he was saying how we have to be very careful with the choices that we make, and that we should be servants unto others and show them the love, even though we may not always agree with who they are or what they do. And then he gave the example of Jesus with the harlot and how he took the time to think about what he was going to say and then spoke. So it's reassuring to hear what Father had to say and then to have it reiterated in the service this morning.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Nice. See, I can't make this stuff up.
And he Anybody also else? Mentioned, well, I'll just tell you one more thing. Sorry, it
sure.
seems like I'm on
no,
a roll
please.
Now.
No, please,
he,
roll on.
He also mentioned about the Jews and how they never gave up. He said even when they were, you know, when things seemed bleak, they just never gave up. And so he said it should be the same with us because we are God's children and that we should always keep moving forward and that we should never, ever give up.
Awesome. Anybody else?
It's nice to hear that we're doing a good job.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's been a good month. I mean, honestly, I've really been trying to connect and for those that don't think that they're connected, just keep trying. I mean, prior to the last meeting, I felt very alone, but that was my own doing, really, you know, from not wanting to connect or for a fear. And now this last few weeks, I make it a point every day to connect and to talk to Father. And, you know, it makes it easier. I don't know what the fear is. Honestly, I'm still frightened. Whenever I go into the throne room, it's like, and he's like, why are you so frightened of me? You know, he even said, he goes, knock it off. You know, he goes, there's no reason to fear. He goes, look how easy you can show up now. Before, you couldn't find me, and then you were afraid to show up. And now you just blink, and here you are. So I encourage others to just do that. There's no reason. And again, I'm not making a judgment. There might be a reason that you don't feel it, but it's self-imposed, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. So keep trying, like Susan said.
On that same vein, Father spoke of being disconnected. We gave each other healings, as you heard yesterday. And in the healing, Father said that the reason why we feel disconnected is because of all of the trials that he's put us through recently. And that's why he expounded on the point that he knew that a number of us have been going through a lot of things. And while we were going through those things, we kind of surrounded ourselves with our own worries and our own concerns, and we all focused on ourselves in survival mode so that we could make it through it. He said that was okay. He put us through those tests to show us how strong we are. He said now from this point forward, he would like that all of us would now not concentrate so much on ourselves personally because most of us have come through a lot of the trials that he's put us through, and he would like us now to concentrate on him and his work, everybody around us. So if you caught at the back end of his message, he said, receive now more of my love. That means what he just did is he gave us all more POG. And then he told me to tell you that he also bound all of our hearts together again, one another to the team and to him. So now we should not feel disconnected anymore. Does anybody have any questions about that? Does anybody want to share anything that they've been through recently?
Charlie, when you say he bound the team's hearts, does that include spouses to him as well?
Yes. Spouses, you are just as much a part of my team as your spouses are. You just don't have the power and authority, but you get the benefits. You get to have access to Father. You get to share in the blessing. I don't know, a lot of you probably aren't as old school as most of us are, but when we were ministers and our wives were told the day that we accepted our office that the wives get half the blessing that we get just by being married to us as ministers because they knew that we had to be away from them at times and they're sharing us with Father's work. This is no different. The difference now is you get all of your own blessing. You don't get half of your husband's or wives. You get all of it because, you know, Father's decided to give more, which is awesome. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Sure does. Thank you.
Anybody else have a question? Okay, Easter Sunday, my family and I got together at my Aunt Inga's house. She actually lives in Paw Paw, Michigan, so she invited us to come to the Apostle service. Apostle Orlovsky was in Portage. So we went to the service, and then we went to my aunt's house for dinner, and she didn't say anything to any of us, and all of a sudden my uncle walks in with the Apostle Orlovsky. I was a bit surprised. So I kind of kept my distance. He made his way into the kitchen where Lauren and I were. We were just kind of hanging out, and we made some small talk. He actually brought up where I was sick last July. He had heard that I was in the hospital. He asked what the details were, so I shared that information. He didn't know that I had moved to Michigan, that I had taken a job in Holland. He didn't know that Lauren and I then moved to Hudsonville, so we kind of got him up to speed with all the things that we've been doing. Also, then I asked him about his condition. He said that he's got an electrical problem. He's got a pacemaker. Only 5% of his heart is working most of the time. He also has a muscle issue. But he said he's actually doing pretty well, considering everything. He just needs to be careful and take it easy. He then hung out and had dinner with my whole family, and he joked around with everybody, and that was pretty much the end of our personal conversation. And then later that week, I asked Father what that was about, and he said, he said, it confounds the Apostle Orlovsky that every time you see him, you don't bring up the fact of who you are. You completely ignore that idea, and that just completely blows him away because it shows that you are not crazy. He also got to see how you interact with your family, how your family accepts you. There's no weirdness or awkwardness. They're not getting in front of you and praising you and worshiping you. And I laughed because that's what it's all about. He said, but basically he tried to show Orlovsky that you're no different than you've been your entire life, and you're the exact same guy as you were Priest Ryback, as you are now Jim Ryback, who's my second son. He said, again, we're just laying little seeds. So it was actually a very nice surprise. I was a little on edge for a second, and then I went, well, I got nothing to hide. He knows who I am, whatever. I'm not going to get on a soapbox and start preaching. So we had a nice afternoon with him. The other thing I wanted to talk about was Holy Communion. I had a moment in Holy Communion when it was being taken place. I looked at Jesus and I said, I guess what I find fascinating about the whole way Father has created the service for us and then Holy Communion is that Holy Communion, it serves a special purpose outside of the word that we receive. When you and I receive the word, that touches our heart and our soul. But when we receive the wafer from Jesus, that is his ability to touch us physically as well as spiritually. And therefore, every part of our being is taken care of when we're sitting in a divine service. So I would encourage everybody that if you're feeling sick physically, to ask Jesus for health as well as those virtues we discussed in the last meeting. And then when you partake of the wafer, Jesus has the opportunity to touch you physically. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
The other thing I wanted to point out is that when you and I have our sins removed and Jesus then fills us with peace, that space that he's taken from us where the sin was, he fills that space with peace. So I was trying to figure out how to word this right, but I can't, so I'm just going to say this. So the more you sin, the more peace you receive. I am not advocating that everybody starts sinning more. I'm just making a point that the more mistakes that you and I make and we repent, the more grace and peace Jesus is willing to offer you and I to change. And I thought that was incredible when I sat in that moment and I said, HS, thank you. Does anybody have any questions about that?
It's amazing. I mean, honestly, even today, just watching Schomburg, when the pronouncement of sins were forgiven, I could feel a lightness and then a calm. So that's an interesting confirmation, the physicality or the physical nature of what happened. That's very cool.
We also watched Schomburg, too, because we couldn't go to service.
Yeah. It was a good service. I mean, his subject matter could be sketchy, but the So it was a very good service. I enjoyed it.
Okay. Brilliance was not able to make the call. She had a convention that she got sucked into. She was hoping she could break away and make the call, but she can't. I asked her and Blazar to present religions every month, so Blazar is going to present the religion called Islam. So Blazar, if you would please, take it from here.
Okay. So this is a lot of information to bust out in a couple minutes, so please bear with me. It's pretty much... it's just the facts, just information. It's not a commentary. And basically my sources are the Encyclopedia Britannica and Wikipedia. So Islam is they call it an Abrahamic religion. It's monotheistic. And so, and we'll grab this Abrahamic term and we'll put it aside for now, okay? What they believe is that God, Allah, is the only God. They believe that he is the final, the beginning and the end, okay? Islam, the term Islam means surrender. Surrender that a Muslim must surrender themselves to the will of God. Okay? Allah is viewed as the creator, the sustainer, and the restorer of the world. And the will of Allah, to which every human must submit themselves spiritually and materially, that a believer in Islam must accept the rules that is given by what is given in the Quran, okay? And in the Quran, they view it to be the final prophecy, the final revelation of God. The Quran was given to Muhammad between 610 to 632 by the angel Gabriel, is what they say. And it was given to Muhammad, and his companions were the ones that wrote it down. They view that Adam, Noah, Moses, and Jesus were prophets. There's a couple other prophets like Ishmael. They believe that Ishmael is the beginning because he is the true descendant of Abraham. And that's where they tie into, that's why they considered an Abrahamic religion. An Abrahamic religion, I looked it up, it means one who believes in the God of Abraham. And so that's how they justify themselves with being related to the God. Even though, so originally Judaism is the original religion, and then Christianity came forth, and then Islam came in. And basically what they did was they said that God is, God is not begotten, nor has he had a son, he has been in existence, and he has not created another son. Therefore, they grab the Trinity and they throw it out. They don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They don't believe in the divinity of Jesus Christ. But they believe that Jesus Christ was a prophet and a good example to follow. They actually believe that there will be at the day of resurrection that one the there's Jesus is going to come back to the earth and fight the Antichrist. And there's the Mahdi. You always hear about the Mahdi army, or the Mahdi is the final prophet that will come, and him and Jesus will come and protect Islam from the devil and the Antichrist. And then they will defeat them in the Battle of Armageddon. So there's things that they use from Judaism and Christianity and so that they can justify their religion. They have five pillars. One is the pillar of prayer. They pray five times a day. Before sunrise, mid-afternoon, in the evening, around 6 o'clock, and then at night. Another pillar of Islam is almsgiving, and where they give charity to the people that are needy. What they do is they say that if you have money, then you should give a lot, and if you have not a lot, then you should do it with good deeds and give some money to the people locally. There's also the Hajj that we've seen, where they go to Mecca and they go around it's this square. It's a tent that has a mirror, right, that fell from the sky, and it has some form of connection with Muhammad, and they believe that that mirror, right, is a stone of blessing, and what they do is they go around that thing about seven times. They also have a connection to, let me see here, the fourth pillar, prayer, and then fasting. During Ramadan, they fast. And this fasting is so that they can cleanse themselves. Islam is always about trying for the person to always submit and surrender themselves to the will of God, and that is why they pray five times a day. That's why they fast, so that they are physically seeking a connection with Allah. They have the Islamic law, or Sharia law, that goes from the environment to banking to the way they treat women to the way that they conduct business. And so there's many facets in Islam that it just, the adherent always has to be surrounded by that religion. And so they want to make sure that they're always under the will of God. They also do a jihad where it's called a holy war, where they go and make people submit themselves to Islam. Now, the religions of Christianity, they call it the religion of the book. So Christianity and Judaism and Zoroastrianism, these religions are not to be, they're not supposed to be converted. Basically, they want to convert those who are atheists, who are of religions that have multiple gods. And so the religion of Christianity and Judaism, they protect, and what they do is you have to pay a tax, and it's a pretty hefty tax. So what does that do? people don't want to pay taxes, so they just convert. You know, they just make it difficult for them to exercise their faith. Islam, in the nations that they're in, there's 50 of them. You're not allowed to try to convert somebody. So, like, if I'm a Christian, I try to convert a Muslim, I can get in trouble, right? And typically, that trouble means, you know, get thrown in jail or executed, you know. So there's a lot of things in Islam. It's the fastest growing religion in the world, and it's getting adherents quickly. And I've even noticed in the inner city where they have signs where it says Jesus Christ and Mary are in the Quran, you know. And what they try to do is there's chapters of dedicated to Mary. There's chapters dedicated to Jesus in the Quran. And it's one of those religions where it grabs the truth of Jesus Christ and then converts it so that it can go back to the religion of Islam. So I like compiled a whole bunch of information. I'll send an email to Jim, the Triland, so that he can put it out there. But I also invite you guys to read about it. It's interesting to see how they use Jesus to be the savior at the end, you know. And so maybe this is a way that we may be able to teach when we have to go and teach the truth of Jesus to the Islamic world when Father sends us there, you know. So that's about it.
Any questions?
Oh, yeah. I just wanted to add that, yeah, I find it weird that the Islamic people view Jesus as the end prophet during Judgment Day. It's just kind of weird because they don't refer to him as the Son of God, but why is he a more important prophet, so to say, than Muhammad is? Why doesn't Muhammad come back during Judgment Day, but Jesus is? It's just, it kind of confuses me.
That's interesting. It's an interesting fact. Now, it's just like poor Gabriel got pinned with the whole thing of bringing the Quran to Muhammad. They view angels as a very important thing in the religion. That angels are they serve God's will. They bring forth messages to people in Islam. There's a lot of encounters of angels in Islam. And it's interesting to see. They view angels as something that is light and does the will of God. You know, we all know that a third of the angels were sent upon this earth. And so I'm sure that they are able to show themselves the way they were first created, right? And shown to deceive, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, with Satan and everything, or, you know, there's always a deceive. When you deceive somebody, you have to give them a portion of truth, you know, something that they can believe in that's already been established. So then, you know, you give them a portion of truth so that you can deviate from what the truth is, right?
Yeah.
It's very interesting how Jesus is supposed to come, you know. I mean, they don't deny the fact that Jesus Christ was crucified, and they don't deny the fact that he died and was resurrected, or else how would he come back?
Right.
You know, but this is one of those things that only Father knows.
Yeah, and it's just another thing is that Islam views their fate, I guess, is like the word I could use. It's everything is deterministic based on God's will. It's not so much what the Judaism and Christians believe, where it's, you know, when you run into a situation where we have our free will, whereas the Islamic folk, they view that whatever, you know, evil or I guess injustice happens to them is done by God's will, and that's just something they have to deal with.
But they also view, they view God as merciful and compassionate, you know. There's another facet of the pillar of faith is testimony. So they say that God is the only God. There's only one God but God, and Muhammad is his messenger. And so what they do is they have to go and promote that and show others that God and Muhammad are the ones that everybody's supposed to follow.
I can also tell you that Christianity is the only religion out of all the ones that have been created on this planet where our Lord and Savior will actually come back and get us. He's the only one that ever rose from the dead. No one else has that, no other religion.
Right. Yeah.
Any other questions? Go ahead.
Basically, what they say is, well, Jesus is going to come protect Islam, you know, and eventually he'll die off, and then the Mahdi is going to be the one that's going to be around, you know. And so everybody will go to paradise, you know. That's what they believe. And what can you say, you know?
Right. We're not going to argue with any religion. That's why I thought it would be nice if we all learn about what everybody else believes in. Next month, they have chosen Hinduism for us to learn about, which is going to be awesome. So thank you very much, Blazer, for taking the time to present that to us.
No problem.
Starlight was ushered into the realm of self-loathing, so I asked if she would just share a little bit about what that realm is so we can all pray for them as well.
Hi, everyone. Last week, I went into the realm of self-loathing. This one was just a little bit different. In the fact that I didn't really have any preparation or anything, I just started meditating, and Jesus was actually kind of in a hurry, so we went right into eternity. And then the next thing I knew, I was with my team, and we were opening the realm. So it was very. The design of it was very similar how, you know, when you go in, it's more how I've described before, where you go in and it's kind of like a cave and there's all these different offshoots and things. The souls in there, there were tons. But the interesting part of this one is that there were several in there that were very receptive or wanted to hear what was being said, but then there were also others that I don't want to say don't care, because I don't want to put words, you know, to their actions. It was just that they were not interested. So, but it was the way that I described it to Triland was that it was very oppressive. The energy in there was just, as you can imagine, it's self-loathing. So it was a fairly, I say, dark realm. But it's the realm itself is comprised of people, you know, that or souls that, you know, that obviously loathe themselves. But what I've learned over the past week or so, just kind of reflecting back on my time in that realm, is that it can be something as, you know, very, very drastic to where, you know, a soul just completely hates themselves and their lives and who are destructive, you know, even physically to themselves or even emotionally to themselves. But then it could be, and I don't want to say the word simple, but I've found myself where at times I maybe even fall into that category of where you're not, you know, forgiving yourself, so you're beating yourself up over something that you did or whatnot. So, I mean, it can go from, you know, a small a small thought all the way to something very, very extreme on the other end. So I just ask for your prayers for this realm. Thanks.
Thank you. Any questions on that?
I have just a general question about realms. So we know that the realm of paradise is the one that we are all shooting for. and we know that there are some very dark realms that, you know, even our Pop is told us about. And in this realm is a darker realm. Are there realms that are not so bad? Is that such a thing?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I think there's other people on the team that have gone into the different ones, like with the Native Americans, and where some of them are like you're in, where it's not as dark or cavernous. I mean, it's just think of every, with certain, the way that I can only describe it or the way that I've been in different realms, it just depends on the circumstance and the severity of it, where there are some, that I've been in where they haven't been that bad at all, and actually it's quite bright in there.
You're right. The one Native American realm I went into, it was earth. It was it was like they were here. They didn't even know. They weren't even aware. So that was kind of a dumb question on my part. I guess I don't know what I'm asking.
No.
Either
better realms
differently. Better realms. So the reason why I'm asking is this. Can they be lulled into a sense of, hey, this isn't so bad, why should I listen to you?
Yes.
And that is a detriment, right? It could be like, well, why should I go? Why? Well, it's not so bad. I got my beer. I got my fishing. And, you know, whatever. Great, thanks, but I'm okay here. So there are realms like that, right?
Is that wrong?
Oh, yeah.
To the beer and fishing realm.
honestly,
I hope our friend. I hope our friend John Gudis is in that realm, because that's all that guy talked about. I pray for him all the time. He's a very rambunctious personality, and his passion for fishing was astounding. Jim, you know who I'm talking about.
I do.
Yeah, so I pray for him that he's. He's somewhere, at least not caught in a realm that he can't deal with. But
you should pray up that he only catches minnows, and maybe he'll move on.
There you go. that could be. Yeah, but no, I worry. It's not that I worry, but we pray for all the dark, deep realms, right, and all the ones that you've brought up. But then there's others, and actually, I had a very interesting experience, if you don't mind me sharing.
Oh, go ahead.
My chair a couple Sundays ago, I sat in it, and we were futzing around with the cords the day before, and when I sat down, the leg of the chair unplugged the chair. Somehow the cord got under the back of the chair, so my chair is a power recliner. I couldn't do anything. I couldn't reach the plug. I couldn't plug it in there. I'm sitting there for 2.5 hours because the family is now in Jacksonville, 2.5 hours north, and I sat. Luckily, there were no emergencies and nothing happened, and I could, you know, I had the water and I was fine and I watched church. But I thought about the inescapable, just crushing fear of, I'm sitting here completely helpless. There's nothing I can do. I just have to wait. And waiting. And I knew they were coming. It's not like the house was going to catch on fire or anything. But I thought about the souls that are in a realm that haven't been visited yet. You know, there's so many, right? And they're just waiting, sitting there, like, okay, now what? What do I do? And those I've been concentrating on the last few weeks is just hold on, we're coming, right? Because maybe they haven't been visited yet, or maybe they were, and now they're in a situation where they realize they are stuck, and there's absolutely nothing they can do. Nothing. So they're just waiting. So it's something I bring up to maybe pray for them too.
Yeah, it's interesting. Thank you. In today's service, we heard about being the light of the world, right?
Right.
You mentioned the parable of the sowers, and it mentioned how the last portion is that some fell on thorny ground, and it is their hearts were acceptable to the word, right? but the mm-hmm. cares and the concerns and the pleasures of this earth choke them out, choked out that fruit that was supposed to bear, you know? And you think about that. You think about that, those people that were with us in our life of faith and walked with us in our life of faith, but circumstances have transpired that the word wasn't, it didn't bear any fruit for them, you know? If it would, they'd still be around, you know?
Mm.
And you have compassion, you have sincerity for these souls, and you look at the situations that may have driven them away from the love of God, you know? And you have compassion for them, you can go, wow, that really sucks that happened to you, you know? But, and you try to bring them back, but it just, it's not, you know? And that's got to be a realm where a whole bunch of people are in that must not be very bad. I don't know, you know, but you think about how they're helpless and they can't move.
Mm. Interesting.
Well, you know, another way to think about this as well, you know, your friend who loved fishing. Now, I don't want to throw wet water or throw cold water on this, but the thing is, anything that we love more than God becomes our idol.
Yeah.
And therefore, it becomes our detriment. And it could very well be that a soul who loves that, their life was this. Unfortunately, they're in eternity without the ability to do that. And that was their love.
Yeah.
And
right.
So
and they knew better.
Pardon me?
They knew better, and they thought they had the time. Well, I'm going to go fishing. When I get older, I'll go to church.
Mm-hmm. It could have been that, or even if, okay, look, think of it this, well, yeah. People who have so much money today that it's all about them. I feel so sorry for people who think that they're somebody and who can do anything and everything they want, and they spend their whole life doing that, and they go into eternity. What a sad state of affairs.
Mm.
Because then they realize that everything they did, potentially, did no good for them. It had nothing to do with what happened after. And you think about that, and there are so many souls in eternity who are, as you say, stuck. And they need our help because they don't know where to get it, potentially.
Right. Right.
Let me take a second and expound on the realm of paradise. The realm of paradise is not our goal unless you pass away. Death is not an option for the team, okay? So I'm just saying that out loud. Number two, the only way that you can get into the realm of paradise is if you're the malefactor on the cross and Jesus invites you to spend the day with him. Or number two, you're a sealed, faithful Christian who's overcome themselves and found grace. Those are the ones who are ushered into the realm of paradise. Everybody seems to think maybe that once you're ushered into the realm of paradise, that now all you're going to do is stay there. That is not the case. The realm of paradise is a stopgap. It's a resting area for our brothers and sisters who work in the realms, and then when they need a break, they're allowed to go into the realm of paradise for a few moments, even though there's not time. They get a break because the soul gets weary and tired, plus they're invited to come to the services to spend time with us to receive the body and blood of Jesus so that they can have the strength that they need. These souls that are in the realm of paradise are perfect. They have overcome themselves, and they have received the grace because you can't sin anymore when you're in eternity. Anybody else that's trying to get there has to admit their fault, has to find Father's grace, have to come to the services, and that's why we have the services for the departed. Any questions on that?
Thank you.
I could just mm-hmm. one comment. It's interesting
sure.
to think that once you're done with this world, you're done sinning. I mean, you can't do it anymore. So I never thought about that before. It's interesting.
Mm-hmm. That's Father's grace. That is, if you tried here, he even put that out in his message to us, you're making an effort to overcome yourself. That's what he looks at. But still, that soul that just passed away, they have to get their sins forgiven one more time at the next service for the departed before they can find perfection. They still have to come to the next service, get their sins forgiven, and then they can move forward and help and work and do all that stuff. Okay?
Yeah.
Fred and Kathy sent me an email. They have a letter that was written in 1977 to the Dishk Apostle Kraus at the time. I asked if they would please, Kathy will give you the backstory on it, and then Fred will read the letter, and I find that it's very timely. So, Fred and Kathy, please.
Hi, I received this letter about maybe 10 years ago from Eleanor Weasel, who's the sister of the late Bishop Weasel. And our Eleanor Weasel and our lives have crossed paths probably 50 years or more. She was the choir director at the Toronto Youth, and we were in the same congregation of Rexdale at the same time. And our paths, when I moved to the United States, our paths drifted apart, and then after my mom died in 2008, our paths started to cross over again. And she sent me this letter, and she asked that I kind of put my heart into it also because of what was involved in this letter. So I'll have Fred read it to you and go from there.
It was dated February 15, 1977. Dear District Apostle Kraus, here is an experience I had with my mother, L.F., who said the following to me from out of eternity. I will neither subtract nor add anything to what she said. She spoke very sternly and also appeared quite upset. She spoke very clearly about the work which was being done in the realms of the departed and said, "We do not have one big party here, but are working very hard. Our longing for the return of our Lord is just as strong as yours. However, we are very saddened with the children of God who enter these realms and remain in the same condition in which they left their life. Not only with them are we sad, but also with the children of God amongst the living. There are so very few pure vessels through whom the departed can come. Then these souls return in such grief and fear due to the disappointment of their unfulfilled hopes that our job is doubled. For their question is the same as ours. Will there be another departed service? Be sure that the servants of God instill within the living souls the seriousness of these services. In order for them to be successful, we must be one in spirit. Much praying is necessary, not only for the departed service, but for each and every service so that we may attend also. Do you realize how many congregations there are into which we cannot enter? The Lord's house need not be full. We find entrance and we are just a few of the faithful gathered. Do not the brothers and sisters have fellowship anymore? Invite also the departed, for we are one in spirit, are we not? This brings us great joy when we can share unity. Love in Christ, S.R. That's it.
Okay. I asked them to read this because that was over 40 years ago, and we still have the exact same issue going on right now. That's why Father said, I'm going to put it on the team and the spouses to remember eternity, to focus on them so that we can be, as they said in the letter, there are a few souls that are open. Then at least in the congregations that we participate in, those souls know that there's a few doors that are open for them to come. Any questions? Please continue to pray for eternity. Danielle gave me a call this week. She had an experience. I asked if she would please share it with the team. Danielle.
Good evening, everyone. This correlates along with Lightstar's dream that she had that we heard about at our last meeting when she saw those that were participating in different judgments and things when they had the marking. Backstory, back when I was about 21, 22, a girlfriend of mine went to a party, and in the end, she ended up becoming pregnant. She did not tell anybody except for me, and she wanted to have an abortion. I did not agree with the abortion, but I told her, I said, because you have no one to be beside you, I will go with you. I took her to the place. I did not go in the room with her. I sat in the waiting room, waited for her, and then I took her home. Now, come into reality. Actually, backstory a little bit. Probably a good couple of years after this happened is when Lightstar started to get more into, I don't want to say more into her gifts, but kind of it started to come out more, I guess you could say. Anyway, in a scene or scenario, the baby was given to Lightstar to give to me. And that baby was the baby that my friend aborted. I named that girl Brooke, and she is able to visit me in my third chakra. Our Heavenly Father has created the tunnel from my third chakra into eternity where she can come back and forth and visit me. So now into reality, Jeremy and I listened to the meeting again because I was not able to listen. So then I heard Lindsay's story, and I came to the realization, which was a very hard realization, that I was a murderer. And at that moment, I began to ask for forgiveness. It affected me greatly. Of course, it would affect anybody that has that realization of who they actually are. So I prayed for forgiveness from the Lord Jesus, Heavenly Father, Holy Spirit, and Brooke, the little girl. We then meditated, and in my meditation, I went to visit Heavenly Father, and he told me that he will forgive me, and the Holy Spirit and Lord Jesus said that they would too. I have to ask for it when I go to service next and offer and pray about it. And he also told me that now that you know the depth of sin that can take place on yourself and what you can do and how you can hurt others and what can happen when you sin, you need to pray and offer and realize the sin that you're doing and ask for that forgiveness. You can't just blanket it and say, you know, please forgive me for the judgments I have made or the things I have said. You have to actually take each sin that you have committed that week, think about it, talk about it, pray about it, and realize what you have done, and then ask for forgiveness, and I will forgive you. So I went to church on Sunday, this past Sunday, and I offered and I prayed, and I was forgiven, and it was a very emotional Holy Communion for me. And then Jeremy and I, again, every week we meditate on Wednesday. So we meditated together on this past Wednesday. And during my meditation, I, of course, met with Lord Jesus, and I thanked him again for forgiving me, and he gave me a hug. I thanked the Holy Spirit, and then I went to Father, and I knelt before him, and he lifted me up on his knee, and I thanked him for forgiving me for the sin of being a murderer. And he told me, "You're welcome," he said, "but I want to thank you because you strived to have your sins forgiven. You realized the sin that you committed. You asked for forgiveness. You offered and you prayed, and you were fervent about it. And it wasn't something that you were doing just out of, oh, I should have asked for my sins forgiven, but you actually realized the sin you committed." And so he said, "I thank you for doing that." And then he told me that I had to go see Brooke, and she was in my third chakra. And she's now about 12 years old. Beautiful girl, and I went and saw her in my third chakra, and she ran to me, and I again thanked her for forgiving me, and she said, "You're welcome, but I also thank you," because she said, when no one wanted me, and when no one loved me, you did, and she said, "You still pray for me, you still love me," and she said, "I look to you as my mother." Sorry. So, that was a very experience for me. So I just want to share that with everybody.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I thought it was just a beautiful example where Father asks for all of us to be aware of what we're doing. And then when we know we've done something wrong, we have to own up to it. And it's not enough to just say, "I'm sorry." We have to explain to him why we're remorseful, why we're seeking his forgiveness, why we feel bad. Because I'll tell you why he's doing that. Because then you and I will hesitate the next time we try to commit that exact same sin. That's why he's doing that. Anybody have any questions? Thank you, everyone, for participating in the meeting. Our next meeting will be Sunday, May 20th. That's 5 weeks from today because Mother's Day is on the 13th, so we're going to push it out a week after that. I asked Trisus if he will pray with me, and if there is nothing else, then I will pray with you. Gracious Father of love, we bow before you with a humble heart, with a thankful soul, with a joy in our heart, because you've bound our hearts together with yours. But also, Father, there's a renewing where you've bound our hearts together as a team, and we include the spouses. We include also Fred and Kathy. We appreciate, Father, the time that you spend with us, the time that you engineered to give us a message, to tell us what's on your heart, to tell us if we need to change something, to improve on something, to share us insights of the future or what's going on with the world, to comfort our heart, to give us strength and joy. Father, we could feel the love as you bestow it upon us, as you are continually doing that for us. You are doing it to us even now. You have all of us in your arms, and you are pulling us to your chest, and you are giving all of us a hug, one big hug for this one team that you've put together. See the hearts, Father, and the concerns that are there. You know everything. I do not. But, Father, what we do know is that this team loves you beyond that word, and we wish not to disappoint you. We do not wish, Father, to hurt you in any way, and we appreciate the grace that we're able to receive today. Even though the chief apostle was not in our congregation, he has stepped foot on our continent, and because of that, there is a blessing that spreads across this entire continent and the world, not even just into eternity, but also for us too. And we hold on to his coattails, Father, that we can receive grace and feel the word that you have provided for us through the Holy Spirit. It was nice to hear Tranquility tell us that your message bore the message that the chief apostle brought as well. There is oneness there, and we know our chief apostle is in oneness with you. We pray, Father, for our leaders in the church, but also for the leaders in the world. We pray, Father, for any care and concern our brothers and sisters here on the phone with us have, for their children, for their future. We lay them at your feet, and we know, Father, when the time is right, you will answer and you will give strength for all of us to bear what we need. Bless those that are looking for employment. Bless those that are having a difficult time at work, that you will give them strength to bear through it or open doors for them to find something else. Those who suffer financially, those also, Father, who are physically ailing, that you will provide everything that is needed. There is nothing more, Father, we can ask from you except that you would continue to love us and have patience with us. And as always, Father, according to your will, we ask these things. And in your name we pray and know how much we love you. Thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Trisus.
Dearly, go ahead.
No.
Dearly Father, okay. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank thee. We want to bind our hearts together with everyone and add, Father, the closeness that we feel. And truly, even in the situations where we might feel alone, we know in the back of our head that we have this group that we can call our friends, our family, our loved ones. And we look forward, Father, to being with them. Even knowing the meeting coming, we look forward to being able to hear each other's voices. We chit-chat with each other. We chat and talk and Father during the different times during the weeks with each other, Father, and we thank thee for that camaraderie. It's good to have friends. It's good to have a connection like we have. For what we go through, Father, we thank thee for the gifts that you give us. We long, Father, that we can share what we have with you with everyone else. We can't wait. And even the few times you've tried to explain to us why you have us going through these experiences, that it's to show us an example. And we question, who are we going to show this to and why is it going to be necessary? But we trust you, and we look forward, Father, to having the strength to do that. And then in the future, in the near future, we know, and in the distant future, Father, when during the end time, Father, where we can share the experiences and share the love that you've given us, the closeness, and just a thought to be with you and to be with your Son and to be with the Holy Spirit. That closeness is not unique to us. It can be available to all. And we're starting to finally understand our position and what you want us to do. We thank thee, Father, for what you've given us for now, and we look forward, Father, for the future, that we can continue to be strong, we don't waver, and that our faith will be able to bring us through these times. We love you. We ask this all in thy Son's name, Jesus. Amen.
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 Thank you, everybody. Love you.
Thank you. Love you, too, guys.
Love you.
Bye.